Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be back on this day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it when we think about God's spirit that's on the inside of the believer and what he's doing in our lives. I'm excited about today's word in Romans chapter 8 as we've been traveling through. But before, just want to give you some announcements. Let us not forget about our connecting point, ebcnc.com, where you can get all the announcements or using our apps. You can get notification. You can do giving through that. So many things. And we just thank you. For all that you're doing, staying connected and loving on one another. The Lord has definitely been good to this portion of the body of Christ, Ebenezer. Thank you for your attendance at our Bible studies. Also, we've got our 8:45 in-person service where we're still wearing masks. We want to give some time for our children to be vaccinated, but we've relaxed the social distances, and God is just really blessed. Of course, we got our 10 o'clock online, and we have our 10:45 in-person service, and we just thank the Lord again for his blessings. I just want to let you know, next Sunday, 22 years I will have been at Ebenezer, and it's a blessing when I think about the time. And I just want to give a shout out, and I thank all our leaders, our deacons, our trustees, all of our ministry leaders, all the body of Christ. Thank you for your prayers. You have allowed us to come together, and we are a big family. So I am just blessed at the years, how quickly they have gone. So thank you for 22 years on next Sunday. And because of that, we're going to bring in some speakers for our 8:45. We're going to have Dr. John Howard. He's going to be ministering to us. And then we're going to have our 10 o'clock online. One of my friends, Methodist friends, Reverend Timothy Fitzgerald. He'll be coming and ministering online. And then at 10:45, one of my other friends from Burlington, we're going to have Reverend Dr. Larry Covington to come and minister to us. So all of them have their own churches, but they've seen fit and want to speak into Ebenezer's life and my life. So thank you for praying for them for next Sunday. The Lord is just doing so many things. Before we go into prayer, we're going to have a little a picture of our graduates today. And I am so glad 2021 graduates, they have gone through so much. And even the year before, as we are trying to get through COVID and all these things, just to be able to graduate. As I sat in their graduations, one thing that the chancellor said really stuck to me. He was like, "You have earned your degree. Anybody to go through COVID-19 and still graduate have earned their degree." And he said, don't let anybody say that you didn't earn it or you don't deserve it, because you definitely deserve it. And so we celebrate our graduates. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to lift them up. And after I get through praying, you're going to see our graduates for 2021, and we'll have a song, and I'm ready to get back into God's word. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I thank you for ordering our steps, guiding us. Thank you for the body of Christ and your blessings, Lord, and your massive provisions that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, God. You have been so good to your body, even in this season of strangeness and bereaved families. And Lord, just people going through, young people stressing, and even, Lord, a massive homicides that we see in our world, Lord. It saddens our heart, but we thank you, God. You're still saving souls and delivering and setting free. Lord, we celebrate our graduates today, 2021. Lord, we know that they have many decisions to make, and I just ask you, Lord, to get them where they need to be. Lord, I thank you for immense blessings upon them, and that they will make an impact for you, God, that they'll be used as your wonderful instruments in these dark days. Lord, we thank you again for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. pray that you're ready to get back into Romans chapter 8 as we've been studying the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit working in us. Remember, this whole journey, we had that topic scripture that we were focusing on in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then that verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then it goes into this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That creative spirit that's working in the believer, which is so, so important. Don't forget that theological term we've been giving you, pneumatology. Pneumatology, the study of the breath, the spirit, and just to know God's presence is on the inside of us. Before I go any further, just want to get into prayer and just to seek His face and to welcome the Holy Spirit that truly is our everything. Father, I just thank You so much for who You are. Lord, I pray for maybe there's someone that's looking in that doesn't know You. Would You help them today to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You've raised them from the dead and You said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from You. Help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, I ask You to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And as said before, we welcome You, Holy Spirit. Thank You for never leaving us, as the Father said that He would never leave us nor forsake us. So, Spirit of the living God, we ask You to teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like You. Thank You for Your anointing today. You're awesome, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Romans chapter 8, and I want you to focus in on that 23rd verse. Romans chapter 8 and 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. I want to speak from a title today, Fight to the Finish. Fight to the Finish. The other day I was looking at this movie, and it was a PG movie, PG-13, and it was basically just dealing with these fighters and just focusing on that even through their pain, even through their struggle, that in order to be a champion, they had to fight to the finish. And with that, I was just thinking about this whole process of the spiritual life as we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside and our struggles that we deal with on a daily basis. From last time, we were in Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And we talked about being a child of God. I've been using that throughout the days and just talking to the Father, thank You for making me Your child. And the points in review, remember we talked about the Spirit of God dwells in you, dwells in us, life from the Spirit, and also living the spiritual life in Abba Father. I pray that you've called Him Daddy during these last days and have become more intimate with Him via His Spirit. And then that last point was, we have an inheritance. It's so good to know that we have an inheritance from God. He has done a total work within us. And please understand, we didn't deserve it. It's by grace that we're saved, not of ourselves. It's a gift. Thank God for that gift. Well, our time frame is 57 AD. Again, this Romans chapter 8, a foundational teaching on the Spirit. This lets us know, just in this chapter, on how the Spirit works in us and how we're being led, and that intimacy quality that God gives us by what Jesus has done for us, enabling the Holy Spirit to live within us. Well, I'm ready. Let's jump into this Romans 8:18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I love this point. Are you with me? It's all worth it. It's all worth it. As I think about this scripture, and we're going to jump into and go in some details, to live as a Christian is tough. We have our good days. Thank God we have our good days. But those that are out there, there ought to be some amens on the chats and as you're sitting in your homes, that sometimes we have our low days, that our flesh seems to want to rise up on an exponential level, and we know what we should do, but that flesh is just trying to fight as hard as it can fight. But I want you to give you some encouragement that it is all worth it. Second Corinthians, the book of Second Corinthians, gives us some really detailed understanding of what's going on as we talk about this fight to the finish. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." If you were with us on last Sunday, I talked about extensively that this flesh is dying. I was actually talking to Mother Winstead, and I called for Brother Winstead's birthday just to say happy birthday. And she said, "Pastor, when you were talking about our flesh," she said, "all we had to do was just look into the mirror and we can tell that our flesh is getting older. Our flesh is dying." We realize that. And there's a struggle even within us as we're getting older. 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction," of the Spirit of God speaks through Paul, "which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Isn't that good? It's just light affliction. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, but comparison to what God has for us. I'm talking about fight to the finish. 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Hallelujah. Fight to the finish. God is encouraging us in this life, as the Spirit of God is dwelling in us in a powerful way, that we can trust Him, that we walk by faith and not by sight. As I was doing some studying, there's a quote I want to give you. It's an extensive quote, and I'm just going to break that down, that Samuel Rutherford, he was a Scottish Presbyterian minister, and it just blessed my heart, because he comes with some insights that helps us to realize, as Christians, really, we live a different life than those that are in the world. We are on a different plane because of what God has done. Listen to this. "If your Lord calls you to suffering, do not be dismayed, for He will provide a deeper portion of Christ in your suffering." Listen to this. This is heavy. "The softest pillow will be placed under your head, though you must set your bare feet amongst thorns." There ought to be some hallelujah saying, yeah, I've been there. I've been going through, but yet God was still that comforter for me, and God was a comforter for you in those bad places of life. He goes on to say, "Do not be afraid at suffering for Christ, for He has a sweet peace for suffering. God has called you to Christ's side, and if the wind is now in His face, you cannot expect to rest on the shelter side of the hill." As we're walking with Christ, if He's going through the storm and we're with Him and He has us, please understand, we get the same wind that He gets, but just to know that our Heavenly Father is with us. The other Sunday, Dr. Rudd, after his wife passing and going to see Jesus, came back into the fellowship, and there was still a smile there. I know that his heart has got to be aching. He's got to be going through. But God does so much in the face of the storm, in the face of suffering, knowing that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Rutherford goes on and says, "You cannot be above your master who received many an innocent stroke." Listen to this. "The greatest temptation out of hell is to live without trials." I'm going to say it again, because it's a temptation to all of us. "The greatest temptation out of hell is to live without trials. A pool of standing water will turn stagnant. Faith grows more with the sharp winter storm in its face. Grace withers without adversity." Yes, it does. We have to go through. Iron sharpens iron. This whole process of God taking us through makes us stronger. He says, "You cannot sneak quietly into heaven without a cross." There ought to be some amens in the house. And we do. We want to live a life where we don't have any struggles and we don't have to go into issues. But it's in the struggles often that our faith is increased. You can't sneak quietly into heaven without a cross. Crosses form us into His image. They cut away the pieces of our corruption. I'm talking about fight to the finish. And then this final thing, Lord, cut, carve, wound. He ends with a prayer and says, Lord, do anything to perfect your image in us and make us fit for glory. Hallelujah. God is, he's forming us, he's shaping us, and he's using his tools. Some of those tools we like, and some of those tools we don't like. I just want to share with you, and if my dentist is listening, I would tell him to his face, I don't really like the dentist. I don't. When I go, it doesn't matter how nice the dentist's office is, how clean it is. It doesn't matter how music, what kind of music they play, if they give me earphones or black out my eye. It just does not matter. I just don't like the place. You know why? Because he always uses tools that I don't like. He's going to take those things. He's going to go inside my mouth, and he's going to be looking for stuff. I don't like people to look for stuff, but that is his job. And after it's done, those tools have helped to fix if there are any problems within my mouth. It's the same thing with God. He's going to use tools that we don't like sometime, but after it's said and done, we will be formed to be what he would have us to be. Look at Romans 18, 19, and 20. Fight to the finish, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Here's another point. There is so much more. There is so much more. Now, as we get into this 19 and 20, we get a lot of detail as the Spirit is speaking through Paul the Apostle. It's dealing with the earth, and all creation was actually set into a cycle of deterioration. The world that we're in is actually dying because of Adam's sin and Eve's sin that we saw in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. We saw that God created something that was perfect, and then the enemy comes in, and that which is perfect in chapter 1 begins to change because of sin, and a curse is put upon the earth. In that third chapter, that 17th verse, it says, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Genesis 3:18. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Fight to the finish. And then that 19th verse, it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So all of this, we see the struggle even of the earth and the world that God has created suffers from the sin of Adam and Eve. And that sin works on the inside of us. We understand that the wages of sin is death. And that's what we're fighting through with this flesh. But thank God again for a spirit. As we look closely at this 19th verse, look at that second part. It says, the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Is good. All of creation is waiting for what God is doing in us, because the redemption of creation is linked inexplicably to us. Isn't that good? That's good. The what God is doing, this whole plan, it's the whole worldwide, that he's going to bring forth a new heaven and a new earth. The Contemporary English Version brings it out in another way to give us insight on this. Romans 8:19 CV. In fact, all creation is eager waiting for God to show who his children are. Are you ready to be used more of the Spirit and to walk in God's Spirit and to show forth God's image, all because of the Spirit that's working in us? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a fight to the finish, but just to know that creation is rooting for us. Creation is eager to see what God is doing on the inside. Some of you may be going through right now. That should bring joy on the inside of you, to know that we have fan club. We have people that are depending on. We have a world that's depending on us. The whole creation. Look at Romans 8:21 and 22. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, are you with me? Groans. In the chat in your home, say groans. Type that, groans, and labors with birth pangs together until now. Here's another point. Creation is waiting on us. So we know creation is eager for the revelation of the sons of God that is coming through us, but creation is also waiting on us. Yes, it's waiting on us. Romans 8:22 again, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. This is actually a picture of a woman that's in labor. That's the symbol of this. And I've told this story, but our first child, Tabitha, wow, we went through, man. We were reading books and we were just going through all the things trying to prepare ourselves. I don't think you can ever really prepare yourself for having your first child. And so Bianca and I decided, or maybe I pushed her into it, we're going to wait till the last minute and we're going to walk to the hospital. We're going to walk to the hospital. I remember that day we were on UNC Chapel Hills campus in student family housing, and all of a sudden, boom, it hit, you know, that pain. And we had Braxton Hicks before, they kind of prepare you, but when the real pain, you know, the real pain, and Bianca's like, it's time. So here we go. You know, we're young, first child. We're gonna walk to the hospital. And if you've been on UNC Chapel Hills campus, the hospital from the family housing, at least when we were there, not too far, probably about a quarter of a mile. So I'm gonna take my Bianca, little Bianca and baby, and we're gonna walk up the street. Man, and there were so many times as we were walking that quarter mile, Bianca's like, I cannot take it anymore. And I kept thinking, you're going to have to take, because we're not going to have this baby right here in the row. But the pangs got more, and the pain, they got closer and closer, to finally, thank God for his grace and mercy, we got to the hospital, and they checked us in, and they were like, oh, just wait. And Bianca and I, we told them, we can't wait. We already decayed. And the nurse looked and said, we need to get them quickly in, because when those pains start coming and they got closer and closer, it was time for the baby to be born. And it's the same picture of creation. It's groaning. It's interesting. I actually looked at an article, 2004. It was from NPR. And there were some scientists that were studying. They said that the world actually has a hum to it. Yes, the world has a hum to it. And I was thinking about that because I taught about that in church one time. And in the hum, they use this specific terminology. They said that the earth is groaning. The earth is groaning. And so there's been a big study to try to figure out, why is the earth groaning? They've talked about storms, and they've talked about the ocean mass and all of those things. But I've got some theology for them. It's groaning because it's eagerly awaiting what God has for the saints and what he's doing on the insides of us. And maybe even in the earthquakes and the storms and all the things that are occurring, we can realize that even the world and creation is saying, come on, God, come back, reveal what you have for the saints of God. I'm talking about fight to the finish. Look at Romans 8:23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Here's another point, serious point, and we can all identify with this, the struggle. Yes, the struggle. Let's look closely at this, Romans 8:23, that second part. It says, even we ourselves groan, go ahead and type that again, groan is coming up, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Saints of God, those who love Jesus, we've all sensed this. We felt this in our lives as we're going through from day to day. There's this yearning, this groaning that says there has to be more. There's this groaning of sensing God's transformation of power within us. But yet, sometimes there's a struggle. It's not easy, but we know that God is doing something on the inside. He's changing us, and our spirit longs for more, longs to be in the presence of God. When we deal with this creation that's groaning and this world that's going through, we know that God is doing, and there's an anticipation on the inside of us. Theologian Ed Henson, he writes this to give us an understanding. He says, as the creation groans for the coming of the Messiah, so too the believer groans. We are said to have the first fruits of the Spirit. That is, the indwelling Spirit is the first installment or down payment on the eternal glory that waits both the believer and God's creation. Hallelujah. Fight to the finish. The Spirit of God on the inside of us is the down payment. That's how we know that we know that we know that we're saved. You have to have God's Spirit to even be saved. We know that by the Spirit speaking to us, but yet the fact that the Spirit is going and growing inside of us lets us know that there is so much more that God has for the believer. The book of Ephesians gives us more insight. Look at this, Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Talking about that down payment, fight to the finish. Look at Ephesians 4:14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Remember last Sunday we have an inheritance. He's the guarantee, the Holy Spirit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit that lives in us lets us know, listen to this, that we're going to have glorified bodies, that these bodies are passing away that we have now, but we're going to get a glorified body. How do we know that? Because Jesus died and he got up on the third day with a glorified body. We're going to get the same. Let me show you one of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Go ahead in the chat, put changed. We are going to be changed. God is going to give us something more befitting of the change that's happening on the inside of us via his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. There it is, go changed. We are going to be changed, and God is doing a progress on the inside of us now via the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, hallelujah, death is swallowed up in victory. There ought to be some shouts, some praise hands on the chat, on the chat, some praises in the living rooms. You just lifting up your hands saying, thank God, no more death, no more bereavement, no more cries, no more pains, no more aches. 1 Corinthians 15:55, oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory? Fight to the finish. Hallelujah. Man, let's get to these two final verses of the day. I'm just excited about this word. Romans 8:24-25. For we were saved in this hope. Listen to this. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Go ahead and type hope. And as you're sitting in your living rooms, or maybe you're somewhere else, just say hope, 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 hope. Here's a point. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. I personally believe that this season is a tough season for the saints as we're going through, and God has allowed some pressures to come, this COVID-19, and we're coming through and we're trying to deal with personal relationships. And as Christians, we're growing. We have this virtual world that we've been introduced to, and now we're trying to connect in so many different ways, and we've got so many temptations that are on the left and right. But God is letting us know, don't give up now. This time of darkness and struggle and issues is all going to pay off. Woodrow Noel, he summarizes this verse beautifully. He says, looking to a future adoption of the body provides opportunity for our faith to grow and mature. Consequently, the virtue of patience is developed in addition to hope and faith. Therefore, although we are assured of eternal heirship, nevertheless, we develop patience in waiting for the coming of the Lord. Fight to the finish. Saints, I want you to know to not give up. There's going to be some struggles, as said before. We're going to go through, but please note, Jesus already went through for us. He's already been betrayed, and he's already been beaten. He's already been hung on that cross of Calvary. He died on the cross of Calvary, and they took his body off of that cross and put it in a cold tomb, but he got up with all victory and power on the third day. You got to fight to the finish, because we know our end. We know the victory that God has already given
given us, even though we go through these struggles of life, even though there are going to be earthquakes and there are going to be darkness, there's going to be homicides and there's going to be families falling apart, we as the saints of God know there's something greater. That's why we've got to share the good news for people for the north, south, east, and west to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because when the Spirit of the living God lives in us, oh, what a change. Are there any excited folks to think about God is preparing a place for us, a heaven where the streets are paved with gold, where there's going to be happiness and joy every day, and we get to be with God in our glorified bodies? There ought to be some hands that are lifted up to think about. We need to continue to fight to the finish. Yes, saints of God, it is all worth it. Saints, to be honest, as we go from day to day again, every day is not going to be rosy. Oh, there's going to be some tough days ahead. But I want you to know, in those tough days, stay close to the Lord. Don't give up on Him. Don't give up on Him. Man, He's working an exceedingly wonderful thing on the inside of you that you may not understand today, but you can trust Him. I'm a witness. I've seen Him work, and I've seen Him work in a powerful way a lot of times in those tough times of life, that you know that God is faithful and He will bring you through. Before I pray with you, I want you just to think of the times that God brought you through, where you thought it was over, it was done, you had thrown in the towel. But God says, no, I am not finished with you yet. You thought you could never recover from that issue that you were going through, but God said, I got you. And look at you now. Things are not perfect, but you look back and you say, oh God, thank you for helping me to fight to the finish. If there's someone out there that does not know Jesus right now, if you don't know Jesus, this God that I'm talking about, this wonderful Spirit that He's given us, please let today be your day. Please say it so often, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. And He said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Please accept that gift today. For the saints, I pray that you've been encouraged, you've been edified today by God's word to fight to the finish. Press on, because God has more for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. I thank you for the richness that you have put within your word, Father, that encourages us, that gives us an understanding of the awesome things that you're doing on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling in us. Forgive us, for we've often grieved you. We've often went the wrong way. We often wanted to give up, but thank you for keeping on pushing in us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the reality today as we think about, oh, that all creation is eagerly awaiting what you're doing for us on the inside of us. Thank you, God, for that new heaven and new earth. Thank you for being able to dwell with you forever and evermore. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whisper a little prayer in the morning. You ought to whisper a little prayer at noonday. You ought to whisper a little prayer in the evening. It will keep your heart in tune. Amaze and grace, Lord, how sweet the sound. Lord, that saved a wretch, Lord, like me. Lord, I once was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. Lord, I was blind, but now I see. You just whisper a little prayer in the morning. You just whisper a little prayer, Lord, at noon day. You just whisper a little prayer in the evening. It will keep your heart in tune. I can't to Jesus, just as I was. Lord, I was weary, wounded, and sad. Lord, I found in Him, Lord, a resting place. Lord, and He has made me glad. You just whisper a little prayer in the morning. You just whisper a prayer, Lord, at noonday. You just whisper a prayer in the evening. It will keep your heart in tune. Amen.
Aren't you happy to have God's Spirit that dwells on the inside of us? It is a fight to the finish. We're going to go through. There are going to be some stresses. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be some mountains to climb. But please know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So as you go through this week, I want you to stay focused in on Jesus and get acquainted with the Spirit that He's put on the inside of us. And let's continue the fight, because you know what? We're going to hear Him one day say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.